the National Basketball Association began its free agency period this week, which means players who aren't under contract can choose which team they're going to go play for as long as those teams want them to. As for which position they will play, that will be one of five. But our next guest does not think that makes any sense. He says position should be determined mathematically through statistical analysis, just like in the movie Moneyball.
It's about getting things down to one number. Using stats the way we read them, we'll find value in players that nobody else can see. People are overlooked for a variety of biased reasons and perceived flaws. Age, appearance, personality. Bill James and mathematics cut straight through that.
That was, of course, Jonah Hill in Moneyball, and that was about baseball. But Stanford medical student and Houston Rockets fan Mutu Alagappan thinks basketball could learn from that. He is an analyst with the data analytics firm Ayazdi, and he joins us from the studios of KUHF in Houston. Welcome.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I want to start just with you laying out this argument, which is that there are not five positions in basketball as you see it.
So growing up, I played a lot of basketball, and I was always a big fan. Because of my height, I was always made the point guard on the team, yet I was awful at being a point guard. And I think that's the first time that it struck me that there's not five ways to play basketball. There's many, many more. And there's no reason that we should arbitrarily place players into these predetermined positions without taking into account their real style and how they actually play basketball.
So you were shorter, so you were always made to be a point guard because point guards are typically shorter.
Exactly. I was always one of the smallest people on the court, and because of that, and only because of that, I was automatically the point guard. And our teams didn't do too well because, to be honest, I wasn't a great point guard, but I was good at other things. And I think now I've realized that there's many more ways to play, and I wish I'd known that back then.
So how many positions should there be?
So that's an interesting question because I think it's actually a variable amount. But I think a good place to start is 10. Using AOSD software, we were able to mathematically show that there's 10 distinct categories or styles of playing basketball that currently exist in the NBA. And I think that's the first step.
Well, tell us how you figured that out. I mean, you say using your software, it's mathematical. What did you do exactly?
We were able to take every player in the NBA and essentially create a network connecting those players to each other based on how similar those players are to each other. So two NBA players that play very similarly, the software draws a line between those two players, and it does so for everyone in the NBA, resulting in a beautiful visualization of what the players in the NBA look like in terms of their playing styles.
Give me an example of similar players that you have looked at.
So one example that we often talk about is Shane Battier and LeBron James, who currently are both listed as small forwards. And most GMs would consider them as occupying the same spot on a roster. However, what we found is that Battier and LeBron James cannot be further away from each other in terms of our playing styles network, which means that the effect they have on the game is totally distinct. And most fans know that, but now we have mathematical proof that they're actually not both small forwards. They fit into totally different positions.
And what kind of impact would it have if you were to define them differently as players?
Let's say you have a player that gets lost to an injury. Normally, you would just bring in another player who plays the same traditional position, such
right.
as a small forward. What we found is that by doing so, you won't be able to have the continuity in your team that you want because the player you're bringing in might be of a different true position than the player you just lost. So if I'm an owner of a team and I lose a player to an injury, I can now know the exact types of players that I need to pick up or trade for in order to allow my team to continue seamlessly with the same style.
And some of the positions that you have created in your research have been jump shooting, ball handler, and three-point specialist.
Exactly. Those are two examples of names that we came up with to describe a whole new class of player that currently exists but currently isn't understood. So now we have a mathematical definition of a player such as a three-point specialist, and we also have the name of everyone in the NBA who falls into this position.
Now, you do have critics. One of them is David Haglund, who wrote in Slate that NBA teams already approach positions with a lot of nuance, with coaches and managers on the lookout for defensive-minded bigs or volume scorers, wing defenders, and other players not listed in the box score. So basically that they don't need this kind of stuff because they're already doing it.
And that is a valid point to some extent. What we're trying to do is we're trying to bring mathematical rigor and democratization to this process. So we're trying to make this positions analysis available to everyone, not just the best coaches. So instead of guessing who is a volume scorer or who's a defensive-minded big, we can now with mathematical clarity say that this player truly is of this position.
Well, I've also read, though, I mean, because this is something that's been done in baseball. I mean, the famous book about it, Moneyball, right? I've read that you can't translate it to basketball because it's a very different game.
And that's a good point as well. So baseball has the advantage of being discrete in that each matchup is between a pitcher and a batter, and it's a finite, discrete event. Basketball is much more of a fluid team sport where
right.
your performance depends on the other nine players on the court. However, one of the beauties of big data is that if the data sizes are big enough, we can actually account for the differences that occur due to teammates or due to the opponents. So from the work we've done in the past couple of years, we found that the insights are just as valuable, if not more valuable, because in a fluid game like basketball, it's hard for any coach or any fan to pick apart those insights themselves.
Now, what about criticism, also from Mr. Haglund, writing in Slate, that maybe you're looking at the wrong things when you're trying to figure out what a player's strengths are or how to define them?
So what we do right now is we use 10 statistics, such as points, rebounds, free throws, fouls, and so on, to describe these players. The writer is correct that we could always use more or we could always use different statistics. As big data grows in basketball, and as we're able and allowed to collect more information, we can only strengthen the analysis that we're currently doing.
What's been the reaction from the NBA?
The reaction has been mixed, and actually it's been almost mostly positive. We're currently working with two NBA teams that we have official partnerships with. I hope our work is just getting started, and I think there's a lot more we can do.
Now, President Obama has taken some interest in your work. Tell us about that. And do you think you're going to be playing basketball at the White House anytime soon?
My fingers are still crossed on that. So President Obama was in the Bay Area for a fundraising event. And a person I work with had the chance to demo for President Obama. Neil Khosla had the chance to do so. And from what I've heard, the demo went very well. The president, who's a big basketball fan, seems to understand the concept right away and seemed to like it as well. So it's a huge stamp of approval from our end, and it's just a dream in that sense as well.
Well, Muthu Alagappan, an analyst with the consulting firm Ayazdi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. It was very great to be here.
And we're listening there to the music from Moneyball. Maybe they'll make a sequel now about basketball, Robin.
I'm sorry. Have you said something? My head exploded. Halfway through that.
This is Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young.